Yahshua Jacobson.
Ready?
Go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. After my last cheer, a young fellow came over to me and said to me an interesting thing that happened to him. Last time I was here, I spoke about the idea of a girl, a shul raffle. And a young fellow came over to me and said he wondered if the following was mutter. He said he was, how many years ago, he was choosing the yeshiva. He had come to, it's sort of a stalemate. He didn't know what to do, three different options. So he decided, he's looked into them, he's thought about it, he has no answer, he's just going to put the names into a hat and choose which yeshiva to go to based on such a thing. So he asked me two things. First of all, after hearing my shiur, he asked, was it allowed? And second of all, was there any meaning to it? Is there any purpose to such a thing? Even it would be allowed, but what did you gain from it? You know, you could, I don't know, flip a coin or just, I don't know what.
Was your subject on allowed, being allowed?
Oh, so I'll start with that now. The Shulchan Aruch, which I quoted last time, I'm just going to quote it again for people who maybe missed it. In Yoredeya, Kufay and Tess, Sif Aleph says, Ein Shoylim B'chayzim K'chavim V'loi B'Gorolos. You shouldn't ask questions to Gorolos. So it's not looking very good. And the Ramah adds, why? Because of Tamim Tiyah. This is not the way of going in perfect faith with Hashem. So at the time, I'm just going to do a quick recap because it's an introduction to the new subject. We said, what does that mean? You can never do a Goral. We know that Tzaddikim have done Goralos. We know that some of the big issues facing Klal Yisrael when they didn't know what to do were resolved by a Goral, aside from the stories in Tanakh and the Maisim in Tanakh and so forth. But even in modern times, there are people who do them. So we said that this to do with a Goral's problem principally is trying to know the future and trying to know hidden things. If you want to know the future hidden things, that is not what a Goral is for. So for a shul raffle, we said that's okay. But this boy's question was much more complicated. Because when you ask, what's the right yeshiva? What do you mean to ask? You don't mean, what will go well the first day? Let's take a random choice. You're asking for some sort of guidance in really what's a hidden fact. Which is the best yeshiva for me? That's what you want to know. Nobody can answer you that. But that's the piece of information you want. Or you could say, no, I'm just choosing. But even if you're choosing, where will my future be the best? Where will I have the most hatzlacha? So on both of these points, I was uncomfortable to say to the boy that this was mutter. Because it's not just a choice, it's a choice that has other elements in it. And beyond that, his second question, was there any purpose to it? So the Michtav Meliyahu in his section about Purim says, I won't say the whole thing over, but basically, Haman was misled by his drawing of lots because of B'derech Shadam Reitzi Leilech Melicha Noisai. So here you have something which is supposed to give you, we said Hashkocha Elyon, that was the Lashon of the Chavis Yair, some sort of mini nevuah into what to do, and yet it can mislead you. Why? Because Haman, because you're Sani Yisrael, so the lot led him to the wrong conclusion. So again, who is free from prejudices? Who can say, could this young person say to me, he didn't have prejudices, he didn't have his negias, what he wanted, where he wanted to be? And it could be, b'derech shalom reitzileilech melichanoisai, would mean that the lot didn't tell him very much. And even if it would tell him that this is the right yeshiva to go to. So I thought like this, and I'll bring you a recent story which backs this up, that maybe the reason the guru would tell you to go to this yeshiva is for your benefit. But what's your benefit? Your benefit is to work on your midas. So you need some really miserable roommates. You need some roommates who are going to leave their laundry on the floor and use your toothbrush. People are going to be totally inconsiderate so that you have to build yourself up as a Baal Midas. But that's not what you're asking. You wanted to know, where's the good Maggid Shir? Where will I get good Chavrusas? How do you know what it's answering you in terms of where it's guiding you to go? So even if it is giving you a good answer, that was not what you meant. And I saw an interesting story on this point exactly. There was a child, Lo Aleinu, who had trouble with the kidneys. And they needed a kidney transplant. And they did the testing before deciding who would be suitable. And they came up with, it was a big family, and four of the brothers were a suitable match for this younger child to donate a kidney. So three of the brothers were quite willing. And one of the brothers, quite young, was very scared. And they said, no, we're all suitable matches. Let's do a girl. We'll see who should give. Fine. So I think they went to Rav Chaim Knievsky, and he told them, yeah, you should do a girl. And the boy was saying, no, but I'm worried, I'm scared, I don't know if I can do it. So Rav Chaim told the boys, no, you should all do it, even this one. So they did it, and wouldn't you know, the boy who was very scared was the one who came out in the girl. So he said, you know, I don't know if I can go through with this. Rav Chaim said to him, your health won't be influenced badly from this, you should go ahead. So with the bracha from Tzaddik, got all the door, so he decided, yes, he would go ahead, he was willing to do it. He felt with a haftacha like that, his health wouldn't suffer, so he was willing to go. So he goes and the surgeons open this young man up, whatever he was, in his 20s and 30s, and they said, as they were doing it, they found a growth hidden underneath the kidney that wouldn't have shown up on the typical scans. Nobody thought to do a scan in the first place. And if they would do the scan, they would never have found it. And they removed it, and they closed him up, and they said, you know, that's it, we'll use somebody else. He said, if it wouldn't have been for you willing to do this, go ahead through this girl to do it, he probably wouldn't have lived out the year. It was going to have a very unhappy ending. So again, here's a girl, it's telling you truth, but it's not the truth that you're looking for. So how do we know what the information is? So this boy's question to me, I felt, was something that probably should be kept away from, even if it would be mutter. So now, the subject I wanted to speak of principally today, which is very similar to this, is going to sound, on the surface, is mamish the same, superficially, and that is nichush, the idea of looking for omens, looking for signs in the world, things that portend good or evil or whatever. It's going to, you look and say, oh, that means this is going to go well or this is going to go badly. And on the surface, it sounds a bit like a girl, which we've just said. Gedolei Hador used it. It's been something which is accepted by Klal Yisrael, a girl, a girl, under certain circumstances. Or to ask a child what pasuk he's learning. I heard a maisa recently from a posik. He said he was in a certain situation, didn't know which way to go. So he turned to his son in the back of the car and he said, which pasuk have you learned recently to do with the east or the west? The child told him, went on that way, and sure enough, he got to where he needed to get to promptly, and the people on the other way were very, very delayed. So this is a maisa of the last 15, 20 years. People are still doing it. Yeah. So I'm not going to try to answer all of these things, but I just want to point out, on the surface, there's a lot of similarity, and the big downside to nichush, relative, let's say, to a girl, is the many lavim in the Torah. There's two lavim, in Vayikra, Perek Yud Tesis, Loi Tenachashu, and Devarim Perek Yud Ches says, Lo Yimotzei Bach Menachesh U'Mechashef. You shouldn't find these people amongst you. So we've got Lavim. It's not just, is it a good idea or not? The Torah has an opinion. It's saying it's Osir in certain cases. And also in last week's Parsha, Bilam praised us by saying, Ki Loi Nachash B'Yakov. It was a great thing that we didn't have this amongst us. So there's obviously
God's name in between us, or in the Berkei Yosef. If you use God's name in between, okay, never. Is that correct?
That's one of the opinions we're going to come to in the end. There is such a thing. There is such a thing. So now, just to bring out a real life example that happened, I'm not sure, in the last 15, 20 years, I didn't say a date on it. There was a fellow who wanted to travel, I think it was to Kivrei Tzadikim in Europe, and he was in Eretz Yisrael, and didn't have so much money, but he thought it was a great, good thing to do. Wasn't sure, maybe he's going to do other touring, I don't know what he was going to do, so he decided, the money's tight, but the trip is worthwhile, what I'll do is I'll call up the travel agent, and if they answer on the first ring, that's a simon, that it's a good idea, and I'll go ahead and book my trip. But if it rings twice, or three times, four times, or any delay, I'll take it as a sign, min shamayim, that Hashem is going to delay, don't do it, and he won't go. So anyway, this is what he did. Doesn't say how many times it rang, I don't know what it was, but afterwards he had charata. And he came to ask a Rav, and he said, was he allowed to do this? So it's brought in two different days. The first Rav said to him, no, it's Osir. And the author of this article that I read, it was in Kuntres Kol HaTorah, he wanted to be Mekel. He wanted to be Mekel and said it would be okay, and he brings lots of proofs and Gemaras. We're going to discuss some of them today. But the beginning proof I was a bit disturbed by. The beginning proof was that Moshe Sternbach says that in Tshuvas Van Hagas Chelek Aleph, he said his father-in-law would do this as a matter of habit, that if he had two things before him, didn't know which one was right, which one was wrong, he would make a girl. And he went to ask the Chazan Ish, so the story goes, and asked him, was he allowed to do such a thing? Was this a mahalach? And the Chazanish, according to this report, said to him, yes, if you're doing a girl, you've thought it out, you've worked through the sides, you don't know what to do, you can do a girl, that's fine. Now I had two objections to this being brought as a raya. Number one, presumably, Rav Moshe Sternbuch's father-in-law, if somebody knows who he is, I'm sure he was a chosh of a person. So we said if a person is free from negiyas, let's say they're a tzaddik, they're a chosh of a person, that's one person. And then there's a lot of people who can't really say that about themselves. And number two, it's a girl. And the question being asked is not about a girl. The question being asked is about nichush. So it's not a fair comparison, because nichush has two lavim, or at least two psukim which aser it, and other source say it's aser. And by girl, I don't know of any pasuk in the Torah which says there's a sad against. So I don't know how he could have brought a proof for that. He had lots of other proofs, but this particular one, I thought it's just important to know that someone says, well, I remember Rav so-and-so did this. You have to know each particular method. What kind of method is this? Did he ask the child a pasuk? Did he do a girl? That's not the same thing as looking for black cats crossing your path or other such nichush. Okay, so it's a big sugya. There are many opinions. I'm not going to obviously get through all of them, but I would like to introduce some of the basic gemaras and some of the resolutions to kashas in these gemaras, and from that we'll have, hopefully, not saying halach l'maisa, as always, but a structure to understand the subject. The first gemara is probably quite well known. It's gemara in Sanhedrin. Sometimes you hear it quoted. So the gemara asks, what is a menachesh, basically? Well, give us the basics. So the gemara says, Zeh oimepita nafla mepiv, bread falls out of his mouth. So Rashi explains, what does that mean? He says, it's a dangerous day. Person thinks, bread fell out of my mouth, that's a bad sign. That's a dangerous day for me. Or his cane falls out of his hand, or his son calls him from behind, and if you live in a house like I do with kids, you're always calling, I don't know how this guy can get through any day, but so his kid calls him from behind, or a raven squawks at him. A deer crosses his path. The modern equivalent is the black cat crossing a path. We'll come back to that idea in a minute about modern equivalents. A nachash miyaminoi, he saw a snake on his right, a fox on his left, a little bit like walking down Cheatham Hill Road. So you feel it's a dangerous matzav. So he takes a sign from it. Then the Gemara continues a few more cases and says someone's come collecting the town tax or something, and the fellow says, no, don't collect for me. Altichil bi shachrisi. You're coming first thing in the morning to take money away from me. I don't want to start the day with a loss. Don't come back to me at midday. It's a good dichui if anybody comes collecting. You know, it's a bad sign. But anyway, no, he means it as a superstition. Or it's Rosh Chodesh, I don't want to start the month. It's Motzi Shabbos, I don't want to start the week. All these days, all these times, I don't want to start off with a financial loss. And these are the Gemara's typical cases. Then the Gemara has another braisa which says similar ideas, and this one we'll spend a bit of time on. It says, who are the menachshin, the bechulda, people who look at weasels? They could look at the movement of a weasel, and they could say, oh, that means this. But oifois, the bird is making his noises, flapping his wings, they could see what the sign of it was, or bedagim. They would look at fish, however the fish crowded, they swam, whatever it was, and they'd read signs into this. So these are the cases, the Gemara says, Mefurish, these are Isurim. And if you look, you'll find in other places, the Tosefta of Shabbos, Perek Zion, there's a list of many, many such things. And these are all ones listed by Chazal. Now, there's going to be a big distinction, at least the potential distinction. The ones that Chazal list, so they say, even if the goyim stop doing them, is it sad that they're still usher? That means you've never met anybody who said, there's a snake on my right. Probably none of us have met somebody who said that. But once Chazal list it, the opinions that hold that forever, it becomes something which is called Darkei Amuri, the ways of the goyim reading signs, and you wouldn't be allowed to do it even if they've forgotten about it. The other side, the other extreme is the new ones, like the one, don't open an umbrella in a house, right? Well, how long have umbrellas been around? I'm sure it didn't go back so long, 200 years, 250 years, it's definitely a new one. So now, the goyim have, the first thing you have to figure out is it goyish? If it's not goyish, that means it's just something that people say, goyim say it, yiddin say it. Whatever the makor was is important, because you can't so easily say it's darkei amuri if it's not a goyish thing. And the second thing is that does it have any sense to it? If it's goyish and has no sense to it, it means just a superstitious thing, then you've got bigger problems. Assuming you can make up new omens, new nichush today. There are some who say you can't, but let's take on you could. So if it's got no meaning, and the goyim are the ones who thought of it, then you've got to have a bigger problem. But if there is sense to it, let's say a person would say to you, I'm not saying in all cases, don't walk under a ladder when somebody's standing on it with a bucket of paint. Yeah, so he's not telling you that because of Darkei Emori. He's telling you because you'll come out looking red or blue. Or, you know, don't do dangerous things. So we don't have to say, well, no, that's superstitious. No, you know, don't drive your car 100 miles an hour. That's good advice, right? So... Okay. Oh,
yeah? So that's why.
Okay, so that's not a good example. But if someone would say to you, because there's things balanced, like don't walk under a roof with hammers and nails on, something they... Fine. So that if you know, that's they say, if you know it comes from a goyish source, it's much more chamor. I didn't know where that particular came from. Black cat, I've no idea where it comes from. So also I'm not clear if you're mechuyev to research it. That means, let's say nobody in the room knows where a black cat crossing your path comes from. So are we mechuyev to go to the libraries and research these things? Or we just say, it could be goyish, it could be Yiddish, it could be anything, we have no idea. I'm not sure, but it certainly sounds goyish. I mean, I don't know where such a thing would come from, but those are these two points. It's got to be goyish and senseless before it really starts to get very chomer, if there's sense to it. Or if Yiddish people, Ramosha Weinstein was asked, I don't want to start a riot in here, but he was asked if men could wear short jackets when they came to America. He was asked because of Darkei Emori. So he said, no, this is just how people go to work. It's not a goyish thing. It's not a Yiddish thing. That's how people go to work. So again, he didn't want to answer it. Again, people may have other opinions on the matter, but let's hear what Moshe has to say for now. Okay.
Darkei Emori goes on clothing as well.
That was the shy that he was asked. Darkei Emori. Yeah, especially. The Gemara speaks about if they wear red shoelaces for their Avodah Zarah. Yeah. So now, the Tameh HaMitzvah is very interesting. There are two main schools of thought, two ways of thinking. What is the problem over here? These are Tameh HaMitzvah. The mitzvahs don't do it. But why not to do it? Already the Rishonim discussed as well. The Chinuch says, because plain and partial, we are a holy nation, we're a clever nation, which was of Chochmah, and this is stupidity. For the Yidden to stoop, to believe in nonsense, he says, that is totally beneath us, and the Torah asked it, not just beneath us, and if we want to do it, we can. No, Torah asked it, you're not allowed to do things, a nation of Chochmah, to do such foolishness. Now, obviously, there could be cases where we'll have to tweak what exactly he means, because we'll see later on that there were certain cases where Chazal said, you can look for signs. But he's talking about the Goyish, Darkei Emori ones, those are stupidity, and we can't do them. The Ramban takes the opposite extreme, and he says that some of them, not necessarily all of them, some of them contain great wisdom. And he writes amazingly at length about interpreting the signs from birds, which I'd never heard of, never thought about. I mean, I never met anybody who did it. But he says there's great wisdom in it. The Sarim and Shemayim convey their messages of the impending future, the near future, to the birds. So he says like this. It's very strong language against the Chinuch and others. Other Rishonim, Rabim Yischastu ben Choshim Loimar, there are others who hold against me, not like me, and they say we'll be very righteous, and say She'ein behem emes klal, and they say there's no truth to them. You don't have to worry about it. Ki mi yagid la'orev la'oyger ma yeah. Who's going to tell a raven or a crane what the future is? Somebody's whispering secrets in the ears of the birds. They say that's what his opponents say. But he says it's not true. There are people telling the birds things, not people. There are sarim telling the birds things. V'nachnu lo nuchal lahachish tevim shi'esfarsmu le'enei roim. He says it's obvious to our eyes that there's truth to some of these things, to the birds knowing. And he says even the Gemara says so. The Gemara in Gittin, which was actually quoted here last week, I heard one at the start of the day, Shirim, about Rav Ilis. He was sitting in prison, those of you who are here, and the bird came and told him and a goy in prison, it's time to run away. And he acted on the basis of birds. So we see that Chazal says the Ramban, he brings that Gemara, says that the birds have something to say. And he says not only that.
The birds knew anything about it.
The bird seemed to be a conduit for the information.
The bird itself didn't.
No, the bird was interested in pecking on the ground and flapping his wings, but somehow he reacts to the messages.
You don't know that, do you?
Who?
The birds can walk.
We don't. We do not know. The Ramban is saying this was a wisdom.
We couldn't get into the
Oh, very good. He quotes Shlomo Melech. He says, "V'zeinu ta'eva ba'amim." This is not considered to be a stupidity amongst the goyim. This is a chokhma. They consider a chokhma. And as Mr. Locke was saying, Shlomo Melech had the wisdom of knowing what the birds were saying. Like the wisdom, it says the B'nai Kedem. It says this was the wisdom of knowing what the birds are saying. So he says, "So such a clever thing. So why not use it?" And it's interesting. Rav Ilish did rely on it, right? So why not? We have to see why Rav Ilish did. But in any event, he says generally we shouldn't do it. V'asalach, why? Because v'asalach ha'mayla gedoyla. The Yidden are above all this, but not because of the reason of the chinuch that we're above it. It's stupid to stupidity. We're above it because we have what? We're elyon kol goy ha'aretz, and we don't need it. He says, where do we get it? They get it from the shvalim, the sari mala, the ones way below Hashem. They're giving messages to birds, and he says a bigger problem. He says she'ain kol divrayim emes. Their messages are not all true. It means the birds can mess it up. The bird didn't get the message right, or whatever it is. The weasel didn't do exactly what it's supposed to. Lo yodu b'kol ha'tzarech, and they don't know the big picture. But who do we turn to? We're supposed to turn to a navi. He says we have neviim. We have the Urim V'Tumim, and that's what we should do, he says. V'tamim Tiyah, Ramban says, Shinachet levovenu elav levado, we should turn our heart only to Hashem. So if not beneath us because of the stupidity, but because we have something better. Hashem expects from us more because He gave us more. So it's usur to turn to them. V'namanim shehu levado oisekol v'hu yadua ha'emes ha'kol asid. We have to believe and imprint in our heart that Hashem knows everything in the future. We trust in Hashem, He knows what it will be, and everything that He has planned out. If we want to see it revealed, go to a Navi, go to Anshe Chasidav, which he says, Roitz Salomer the Urim V'tumim. Now I wonder nowadays, whatever Koyach there is, L'ra in Nichush, we always say there's a balance between Toiv V'ra. So it's Mistaber that even if we don't have Nevi'im nowadays, we don't have the Urim V'tumim, but whatever they can get through Koyach Satuma, it stands to reason, I think, that we could go to the G'dayle Hador, or to great people, and have the same quality of knowledge as what they can get through Tuma. It wouldn't be balanced if we weren't allowed such access. I'm not saying that we can go and see the future, but whatever they can see, we should at least be able to see. Hashem wouldn't put us in predicament where we'd have to turn, chas v'shalom, to Tuma. And we should believe, he says, Ramban finishes by saying, we should nem unto kol bidei shemayim, everything is in the hands of Hashem. He can change the future, he can do what he likes, he can make fools out of the people who read into these occults. And we have to believe that everything Hashem does for us is a hechitimsa to bring us closer to serve Him. So it comes out the Ramban, the Chinuch are both saying don't do it. Chinuch is saying don't do it because of beneath us. Ramban is saying because we have so much more, we shouldn't stoop to that. But it sounds like it's Asr. But then if you look in the Gemaras and some of the things we mentioned already, it's not so straightforward, it's always Asr. The Gemara says a very interesting Maisa, and this is in Masechta Chulin Tzadi Hei Amud Beis. And it shows, this is another one of the Makoros where we were allowed to use things very close to Nichush, or seemingly identical to Nichush. It says, Rav was coming on his way, and he came to the ferry. He was on by a river. There was a ferry that was supposed to come and take him across the river. As he arrived, perfect timing, the boat arrives. So he says, look at that. The boat came just when I needed it. That's a siman that there's going to be a Yom Tov in my grandchildren's house. That's where he was going to visit. He's going to go across the river. There'll be a Yom Tov. So he goes across the river. He peeks through the window. It's interesting. He says he peeks through the door. And he saw meat hanging, shechted animals hanging in the house. And he's confirming what he's believing. You know, they didn't shecht animals every day. And as he's looking, they spot him. And everybody comes rushing out to meet him. The problem is everybody included the butchers. They were preparing meat, and the butchers run also out. Meanwhile, Rav, while he's giving hugs and whatever he's doing, he keeps his eyes on the meat hanging in the back. You know, they're wondering, well, why is he so distracted? And he turns to the butchers when he finishes, and he says, "Yeah, what's going on over here? If it would be for you, you'd be feeding Isidik meat to my grandchildren. You ran away from the meat. Nobody's watching the meat." Anyway, but he had kept his eyes on it, and then he didn't eat from the meat. He didn't eat from the meat. They had the Yom Tov suit or whatever it was. So Gemara asks, why didn't he eat from the meat? What was the problem? If you say that it was unwatched meat, it was watched. Rav kept his eyes on it. So Gemara says, no, it's because he had done Nichush. When he came on the boat, he had said, the boat's coming towards me, it's a Yom Tov. So Maybe he felt that it's not proper for him to have enjoyment from this meal after he had used nichush. Gemara says, no, not true. Because Rav is the Baal HaMeimer, says, Kol nachash she'enuk ha'elezer eved Avram, v'yoynesen ben shol eino nichush. If it's not done in that way, it's not nichush. And the Gemara understands from that, that this nichush that he did was not that type. So that can't be the reason. The Gemara's conclusion is, it was a Sudas Rishus. He held this was not a Sudas Mitzvah, so he didn't want to eat from the meat because of that reason. But in passing, the Gemara is saying that he held that this was Mutter. He held that this was not a problem. And we'll have to see in a minute what was with Eliezer and what was with Yonis and how could they do it. How can we use them as the base to compare it to say, if you do like them, then you've done something wrong. So the Gemara goes on and says, Rav, he was Badik Mivra. He would check the ferry. That was his kind of sign checking. Shaul Badik Basifra. Shaul would open up a sefer and check what Pasuk was up to, and that was his way of checking. Rav Yochanan Badik B'Yinoika, he would ask a child. Rav Yochanan had children with Pasuk, the reading, and this was all done. The Gemara is not saying, and they shouldn't have. This is what they did. So now, how do we put these together with the Psukim? We'll see in a minute. But one other very interesting part of the Gemara, which shows even these great tzaddikim using permitted methods, is another story with that has a surprising end. It says that Rav Yochanan, whenever he would write a letter to Rav, he would always address it as Lekodim Rabbeinu Shebebavel, our Rebbe in Bavel, send off the letter. Then, after some time, Rav died, and he sent a letter to the next leader, and that was to Shmuel. And he didn't write the same heading. He wrote Lekodim Chavreinu Shebebavel, our companion in Bavel. And Shmuel was a bit taken aback. He said, "There's no way in which I deserve the title of Rav. Am I in his eyes like someone who's, Shmoiger? Let's see if he's not impressed with me." So what does he do? He writes off 60 years' calculations of the calendar, and he sends it to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan receives it. He expects his eyes to pop out. He says, "No, see, he knows how to do cheshbonus." Well, okay. So Shmuel figures, "I've really got to do something to impress him." He sent him 13 camel loads of Suffolk treifas. Questions on this one's lung and this one's who knows what. And he sends them. He says, "I had all of these shilas." Rabbi Yochanan gets them. He says, "Such a godel, such a chacham. Ah, I should have called him. He's my Rebbe. He's not my chaver. He's my Rebbe. And I'm going to go and visit him. I've got to pay kavod to the godel door." So he turned to a child and he said to the child, "No, what pasuk have you learned lately?" And the child said, read to him a pasuk, said, "Shmuel Meis." Shmuel Meis, Shmuel died. So he thought, "Oh, well, we might as well cancel the tickets." Shmuel Meis. And he did. He canceled the tickets. He didn't go. And the Gemara says, "Veloihi, Shmuel hadn't died." Why? "Eleki hechi de la litrach Rabbi Yochanan." In Shemayim, they didn't want to trouble him to travel all the way to visit him in Bavel. So it said that he got the child to read Shmuel Meis, and he canceled his trip. It's an incredible thing. That means that God will adore using a method which was reliable. And Avo PK and Hashem decides what will be the answer. What's in your interest? He didn't want to matriach him to travel. So even though they use these methods, we're not saying in the Gedolim that this was, it's a straight line into the facts. It depends. Hashem decides what message to send. So now we have to figure out, how does all of this fit together with the Isurim? And the Gemara gives a solution. It says like this, that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, if you build a house, you have a child, or you marry a wife, and then your business does well, that's a good sign. That means this business that you've just invested in is going to go a long way. And the Gemara explains why. It says, "Afo pi she'ein nichush yesh simen." Even though there's no nichush, but you can take a simen. I mean, you can't do the Isurim, but you can take a simen. So what does that mean? You can't rely on it to make your decisions for you. This is how I understood from the Mefarshim. You can't rely on it to make your decisions for you, but if you've already more or less made a decision, and you just want a little bit of a boost, something to be mechazek you, that this is a good choice, so then you can take a sign from the fellow who's made a good business deal. He thought it was a good business deal anyway. He put his money in, he did his research, he bought the things, and now he gets a good sign. It doesn't mean you get a good sign, and now I'm going to go and invest in Esrogim the day after Sukkos. You have to use Seichel. So he used his Seichel, and then the sign pushed him on to say, yeah, it was a good idea. And these signs are brought in Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Ayin Tes, and it says, when we can and we can't use them. The line is very gray. Listen to these. It says, She'ein matchil mebeis v'dalet. Shulchan Aruch says, we don't begin new projects on the second day or the fourth day of the week. Now, I don't know if anybody knows Lamaisa when that comes up, but this is, I'm reading the Shulchan Aruch. I'm not reading things which aren't halach Lamaisa. We don't marry women except as the moon is getting fuller. These are all the Chorus signs. The moon is getting fuller. Is it time to book a wedding? Chazal say yes. There's a minhag to start learning on the first day of Rosh Chodesh or on Rosh Chodesh. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes that Gemara, that you can find signs. And we don't have to look very far. During the 3 weeks, what do we say? People shouldn't strike Talmidim because it's a time which is the bad mazel. It's a dangerous time. What we're reading into things. Chazal were magalish, it's a bad time. I'll tell you some more. Pointed out to me 100 days now to Yom Kippur, so there's some coming up. We say, don't eat nuts. Don't eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah and some afterwards. So your wife has baked you a beautiful pecan pie, and you're basing your behavior, she serves him, no thanks, I'll pass. Right? You're basing your behavior on a simen. But we say, that's a simen. It's a simen, that's not called nichush. Another example is that if you want a chicken for Kapporis, so it's preferable to have a white one. But you shouldn't say, I want the white one. That shows you how fine the line is. Between Darkei Emuri and the Simon of Chazal is whether you said the words, I want a white one or not. And if you don't say that, so then you're being Mekayim and Minog of Klal Yisrael. So those are all established simonim. Until now we've spoken mainly about ones that there was either the Goyim established, Lahavdil, or the Chazal established, those which are Asr, those which are Mutter. And then there's a third group, which is really our question. You make it up on the spot. You decide, the sign for me will be the phone ringing. Well, there's no recorded, nobody's ever heard of such a sign before. And the Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh Oimim, this is in Sif Dalet, Yesh Oimim Da'adam, Mutter La'asos Lo Simen B'davash Yavi La'asid. This is again a simen. He's not doing Nichush, he's just looking for a simen. The first opinion, this is the Ramah speaking, says you can, you're allowed to. Kamoish Asa Eliezer Eved Avram, a Yonason, and here we see the Shulchan Aruch saying, and what they did was fine. Even though the Gemara quoted it, seemingly casting a bad light on what they did, he says, if you do like them, you're doing okay. Now, I'll explain what they did in just a minute, but the second opinion is not so favorable. Yesh Oisrim. And the Ramah says at the end, so he's noted to say, you're not telling you it's definitely usher to make up your own signs, but if you want to be boteach and Hashem, if you want to do the right thing, so the best thing is to stay away from them. So let's just recap our levels. We said the best level is if you rely on something which Klal Yisrael has relied on, a girl by a tzaddik, asking a child a pasuk, or following one of the simonim which Chazal or the later Sforim have said is a good simon. One level down is to make up your own simon. We said that's a machleikus in the Ramah, and it's better to avoid. And someone said to me, we're going to start making up our own simonim. Maybe we should call Kosher Innovations, tell them we've got a great new idea. The yes-no coin. We'll flip a coin, yes-no, pull it out of your pocket. Anytime you have a suffix, up it goes. We know what to do. And someone said to me, what are we, a nation of coin flippers? That's how we go ahead in life. She uses a seichel. And if we don't know, we trust in Hashem. But nevertheless, we can't say it's definitely usser. It's just better to avoid. The third one is a goyish simonim, which we're saying, those are Darkei Emuri. Those are what the psukim are talking about. So now, the Mefarshim address, how can we use Eliezer and Yohanan as being the basis of saying what is and isn't allowed? So let's just recap the two meisim that happened. Eliezer, we all know. Eliezer said he wants to test who's a suitable wife for Yitzhak, so he tested her to see if she'd give the water to him and the camels. Fine, that story we're all familiar with. The story of Yonason was that he and his arms bearer were going up to attack a small group of, I think it was Plishtim, and he said to his assistant there, if we walk up to them, they say to us, come up to us, that's a sign that we should come up to them and attack them. And if they say, we'll come down to you, that's a sign that we shouldn't attack, because they were two people against a whole garrison of Plishtim or Goyim, and they and they would abandon it. So now, question is, why is that allowed? So why is what they did allowed? Because we use it as a comparison, we shouldn't do something similar to them. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to be saying, because in the same sif, it says a simon is allowed. It means they were using it as a simon. They weren't going to rely. They had planned out whatever they wanted to plan out, And this was just to push the scales a little bit in the direction that they thought was the best way forward. But Tosfos has two different answers. He says like this. First of all, there's an opinion by Eliezer that Goyim don't have this mitzvah at all. Let's say, he says like this, if you go like the Mandamar, call him Parshis Machsheif Beinoch Muzhar Alav. If you hold that they weren't commanded in it, then there's no problem. And even if you hold that the Beinoch was commanded in it, he says that really he didn't give the presents to Rivka until after he had checked who she was. Ah, you'll shout out, no, he gave them before. He says, yeah, I know that, but ein muktam mucher b'Torah. So the Pesukim are in a different order, and the Torah does that, so he didn't give it until he knew who she was. That's Tosfos' answer for Eliezer, and for Yonason, he says, he was going to attack anyway, he just wanted to lezarez as nara. He wanted to get the fellow he was with, the arms bearer, willing to attack. He was going to attack. But in order to show him that it's a good time to attack, he did this kind of a thing, let's ask and see what they say, and we're going ahead. But mitzad him, he was determined to attack. So that's another answer. The Ran says these tests were different than most other tests, because they were tests that were logical as to what the end was. That means Eliezer wanted to know, what are her midas like? Is she a balas chesed? It wasn't, let's see, the woman who comes to the well and can stand underfoot for 3 minutes, that'll be the good one for Eliezer. What kind of a test is that? No, I want to test, is she good with chesed? So it made sense. So the Ran says that's the reason would be allowed. If we would do the same thing for nonsense, it wouldn't be allowed. And Yehonasan's, his test was to say, let's see how lazy these soldiers are. If they say, you know, we're in our armchairs, we're couch potatoes, we're flipping through the channels, you come up to us, so then we'll know that it's time to attack because they'll be going to the fridge for another beer. We'll get in there without any problem. And on the other hand, if they say, right, well, you know, we're coming out to get you, so then it's time to run off. So there were logical tests, and that's why they were allowed. The Ravid, we have about 2 minutes left, so I'll try to finish. The Ravid says that the whole Gemara, the Maaseh of Eliezer and Yonason, the Gemara was not trying to say Yisurim at all. It was just saying, did it make sense to rely on it? Which is a Mechudishtik approach to the Gemaras. So they weren't really testing. They weren't really saying, is it Mutter? The Gemara isn't saying, don't do like them because it's us. They were saying, don't do like them because maybe there's no point to it. You won't learn anything from it. One last opinion was the Sfarno. He says, which I think Mr. Locke called out, that if you combine the test with davening, so then you're showing that you're not trusting in the Nichush. You're showing you're trusting in Hashem. That being the case, it's totally mufrash from this Isser, and you're allowed to do it. So I just want to point out something else, that nowadays, I saw both Rav Moshe Sternbach and Rav Yaakov Hillel in this Sefer say that if people are faced by things like palm readers, tarot card readers, people who read the clouds, Goyisha omens, things that people say that they can read into them, they point out most of the skills to these whole kinds of approaches are lost. The person says he's going to read your palm, says there's a basis in the Zohar, that's true. But that he knows how to do it, they say it's not true. They are lost skills. And the problem is that they become a combination of Sheker and Emes. And people leave much more confused than they came, and they end up believing things that are totally making them act in a way they wouldn't act. And they say you have to be completely separated from these things. You'll only end up confused. So even if you hear there's a source for this and for that, that's not the way forward. We should be zoicha to make these days of the Ben Mitzarim to be times of only Simon Tovim, the Vias Goyal Bimher
Vimeinu. We left out the thing about the Chobit. We left the Tamri, you see, and the Mitzrayim. We left out that.